Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown. Well, I don't agree that you would make 11 million workers legal, because that, in effect, is amnesty. And I also don't agree that you would give the DREAM Act on a federal level. And those are two things that I believe that the Speaker had been for, and he can speak for himself. But those are two areas that I don't agree with.
Here's Michelle Bachmann, one of the many Republicans who don't agree with what Newt Gingrich had to say during the debate this past week about illegal immigration. The debate was not about illegal immigration, at least the whole debate. This particular part of it, a discussion back and forth, and it's worth consideration because it is sort of controversial. The whole illegal immigration thing hasn't gotten enough attention as far as I'm concerned, but I'm more concerned about what you think and your concerns are. So as we go through the charts for the week of November the 21st to the 25th, you'll have some quick thoughts you'd like to share with us at 800-510-8255. We move quickly during these hours, the overview of what's happened during the week. All 10 items are presented. Presidential race is number one on the countdown. So let's proceed running down the top 10 hits determined by the folks at Talkers Magazine and also the staff that puts together and produces the countdown each day. The reopening of the Natalie Wood case is number 10 on the countdown. NFL and sports action in general, basketball not being played, et cetera, et cetera. And a focus on Tim Tebow, who apparently uses Jesus every other moment in his conversation, is a focus on Jesus, and some of the players are getting upset about it. Penn State investigation, number 8. Middle Eastern unrest, number 7. And that would include, I guess, the Iranian pursuit of nuclear weaponry. That's number 6, actually, so the two are kind of combined. The protest movements around our country, number 5. The holiday and Black Friday, number 4. Number 3, the European economic situation. Failure of the Super Committee is number 2. And the presidential race is number 1. So let's get into that with hosts John and Ken talking about, again, the Newt Gingrich comment regarding illegal immigrants and immigration.
Newt Gingrich stepped on the amnesty poo.
I did vote for the Simpson-Mazzoli Act. Ronald Reagan, in his diary, says he signed it. And we're supposed to have 300,000 people get amnesty. There were 3 million. But he signed it because we're going to get two things in return. We're going to get control of the border, and we're going to get a guest worker program with employer enforcement. We got neither.
Stop there.
Okay, talking about the big amnesty.
That was the 1986 Amnesty Act. Okay, so let's review this here. He says he signed the Amnesty Act, which has led to millions of illegal aliens into California. Ronald Reagan, their patron saint, signed it as well. We were supposed to have 300,000 people get amnesty. There were 3 million. How did that happen?
They were just off by a bit.
No, seriously. And shouldn't he and Reagan and everybody else be held responsible for that? And that is the number one reason why you wouldn't trust another amnesty deal? Because they ended up amnestizing 10 times as many?
All right, it shows you that either they lie, or they're so incompetent with their dopey census numbers, or they didn't realize that with family and chain migration, you have all these other people coming into the country with the amnesty.
And then Reagan...
Because once you give somebody the path to citizenship, they can start claiming that they have others that are important to them that they want to bring here.
But he signed it, this is according to Gingrich again, but Reagan, signed it because we were going to get two things in return. We were going to get control of the border, and we were going to get a guest worker program with employer enforcement. We got neither. What you were going to get from who? You're the government. Reagan is the president. Why didn't he order the borders closed? What do you mean we didn't get it back? Who are you going to get it back from? Who were you negotiating with?
You and I know what this was. It was a lie.
It was a lie!
Which is why we fought against the McCain-Kennedy bill a few years ago. We knew they were going to try to pull the same thing. We were going to secure the border. We were going to stop employers from hiring illegals, but just allow us to give amnesty. Well, the answer is no, because of what happened in 86.
Gingrich is really a master windbag. He talks with great authority, and he has a great command of vocabulary. And if you're not listening closely, you don't notice that he's spewing nonsense. What do you mean we were going to get control of the border and we were going to get employer enforcement? We got neither. You guys were in charge. You were in charge of getting employer enforcement and a guest worker program and sealing the border. You intentionally did not do it because you were never interested in it.
John and Ken, with a pretty good example of why they're number one in their time slot in Los Angeles. What a wonderful, really strong way of understanding what that was all about. You give them 300,000, they take 3 million. It doesn't work. It never did. Ted Kennedy, during, I think it was the 70s, there was a desire to increase the number of illegals from 500,000 to 700,000 a year. And that's when the whole thing blew up in everybody's faces. Bravo to them. Kudos to them for getting it right, at least in my opinion. What about yours? 800-510-8255. Here's another spin on that from host Blake Butler talking about Herman Cain, who seems to be planning to hire people to figure out whatever he doesn't understand. Another sort of slice of life from this week's presidential race.
Herman Cain, I'm still not understanding where he's heading with all of this. His answer to every problem was to find the people that could figure out how to fix the problems. This is exactly what Richard Petty did when he ran for Secretary of State in North Carolina, and he told the media that. They said, well, what are we going to do about this and this and this? And again, this is no blow to Richard Petty. He just said, I'm just going to hire the people that can figure all that stuff out in the Secretary of State's office. And that's what Herman Cain is telling us, too. I'm running for president, but I'm going to hire the people around me that can figure it out. I understand that's important, but we need to hear from the person that's running for president. So, again, I don't think there's that much there with Herman Cain and Rick Perry. He just didn't stand out from the crowd. He didn't do anything. It's pretty much plain Jane. And now Mitt Romney was very prepared. You could tell his handlers have worked with him in the way he delivered his answers. So I think he had a good debate. Again, overall, we didn't learn anything new other than Gingrich softening up on an issue that among conservatives, immigration is a tricky one. You got to be really careful. And Newt's rolling the dice right there with that one. We'll see if Mitt Romney goes after him in Iowa in early states.
All right, so rolling the dice. That's what you like, is to have a presidential contender who rolls the dice. I guess you need to be flexible for sure. Up next, the super committee's failure. That's number two this week on the countdown.
Chapstick asks, where do lost chapsticks go?
Hi, I'm Rick, and I lose my cherry chapstick a lot. The first 26 times I lost it, I found it laid in my back right pocket. And I'm a lefty, but this time, it's gone, man. And my chapstick has always been there for me. Like that one crazy cold winter, chapstick was my best friend. So if you see it, wait, is this it? Do you know where your lost chapstick is? Have your say at facebook.com/chapstick. And try new chapstick Lip Shield 365 with SPF 50 for all season protection. Ultra moisturizing for softer, healthier lips.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right, then. Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
You know, life doesn't slow down just because you have sore joints. You still have just as much to do, and you have to find a way to keep yourself moving. Fortunately for you, there's new Move Free Ultra. Just one small pill per day is more effective for sore joints than two big glucosamine and chondroitin pills. And you can believe it, because it was based on a 90-day human clinical study. Don't let sore joints slow you down or big joint care pills. Put a powerful small pill to work for you. Move on, move free with new Schiff Move Free Ultra.
This Saturday at participating Walmart stores, kids get free photos with Santa from 10 to 2. And while they rattle off their gift requests, think about your house. Loyal. Strong. Your shelter from the storm. Doesn't it deserve some Christmas love? Like a 6-foot-5-inch pre-lit Colorado Christmas tree for $39. And a 100-count mini light set for $268. Walmart has low prices on everything you need to decorate the trusty home that lets 8 enormous reindeer prance and paw at its roof. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
Introducing OnStar FMV for my vehicle. The safety of OnStar for your car.
OnStar emergency.
My mom's going to the wall.
Is she okay? No, he's closing your eyes.
Okay, I'm going to get the police out there to help your mom.
Yay.
Police.
This is OnStar Emergency. I have a young child that pressed their emergency button. She's saying that her mom keeps closing her eyes, but she's still driving. She's at Sumter and Tropical Care. I can call for sure.
Hello?
Somebody please. I'm only 7 years old.
Is your mom still driving?
She's going through.
Is she diabetic?
Yeah.
Okay, we're coming to help you.
With new OnStar FMV, now you can have this kind of protection installed on your car at Best Buy.
Policeman.
They did a great job.
We all need the safety of OnStar because life happens while you drive. Get it today for your car at Best Buy for $199 MSRP after instant rebate, tax, installation, and subscription extra. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, details, and other retailers. Offer ends 12/31/11.
So on to the Super Committee's failure. I hear from MSNBC. Luke Russert talks to Politico.com's Jake Sherman and Manu Raju about the story that they've written claiming the Super Committee it didn't have a chance.
Jake, I want to start with you. You had some amazing details in this piece about where both sides started the negotiations from. Let's put that up on the screen. Republicans said in their first meeting about where they wanted to start, what their wish list was, repeal Obamacare, cut more than $2.5 trillion in spending. Democrats started with pass the president's $447 billion jobs bill and $1 trillion in revenue. Those are pretty extreme starting positions for a group that's supposed to be about compromise.
So these guys were totally at a deadlock, and they'd spent a lot of time getting grounded on budget matters, learning what they would kind of be delving into for the next 3 months, kind of getting grounded with the budget. So finally somebody said, let's put on the table where we're going to negotiate from. And Republicans said, okay, Paul Ryan's budget. That's what we want. That's what we've been driving for all year. Let's put it on the table.
No Democrats voted.
No Democrats would ever probably support much of Paul Ryan's budget. Democrats wanted Obama's jobs plan. So there was a huge gap that, you know, it just showed early on that these two parties were so far from each other at the early part of the negotiation. And that gap kind of remained. It narrowed a little bit, but it remained for much of the 3 months that they negotiated.
Manu, you had some really interesting facts in this piece that there was a lot of consternation amongst folks on Capitol Hill that, all right, 535 members who usually would have a say in these types of budget issues was then truncated down to 12 members. But you said at the end, it really came down to two folks who were not elected. Boehner's chief of staff, Barry Jackson, and Harry Reid's chief of staff, David Crone, were actually negotiating for the super committee behind closed doors.
And they were. They were trying to find any way forward. I mean, remember, they were at one point negotiating, the super committee was at one point negotiating about a $3 trillion package, even more than that, some major deficit reduction deal that could put this country on a fiscally sustainable path. They couldn't get anywhere close to that. What eventually was negotiated was a plan that would cut about $643 billion over 10 years between Jackson and Crone in a closed-door meeting. They tried to get any sort of deal to stave off some of the most damaging parts of these across-the-board cuts. But what came of it was nothing. Jackson and Crone could not get a deal that was on Friday, and eventually this whole thing sort of blew up in the end.
Huh. This is it's pretty good. I thought he did a good job with that. Luke Russert is the late Tim Russert's son, who's now working for NBC. David Letterman sort of put the super committee all into perspective with a smile.
Super committee excuses. Here we go. Number 10, spent too much time picking a cool name for the committee. Number 9, got distracted by Congress's new Donkey Kong machine. Number 8, wasted time tying on each other's hairpieces. Number 7, when your options are solve the national debt crisis or see the new Twilight movie, you see the new Twilight movie, for God's sake. Number 6, quit early to get in line for the Black Friday sale at Annie Says. Number 5, it's the curse of the chupacabra. At number 4, we're assembling a special committee to come up with excuses. Number 3, it's Robert Wagner's fault. Number 2... Hey, normally, it takes us twice as long to get nothing done. And the number one super committee excuse, President Santorum will figure it out. There you go.
All right, so that's David Letterman on it. We move to the number 3 item up next on the countdown.
The shattered Rust Belt, come the Lost Vegas.
Now, also available in digital format at Amazon and iTunes worldwide.
Don't come calling when your walls start falling down.
Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
And iTunes.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning, e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
So we're at number three this week as we think about what's going on in Europe, the debt crisis, how the Europeans are trying to figure this out. Really kind of heavy stuff. And there's not much new there, actually, just a lot of conversation that we've heard over and over again. Politicians on both sides of the pond sound the same, and I don't know that there's more requirement of understanding there. They've got a difficult situation in three or four countries and four or five other countries that are wealthier trying to straighten it out, and they're not arguing about what each other's plans are. They're just arguing about whose fault it is, which, again, pretty typical of how politicians everywhere handle it. Who's to blame? So let's move to number four, which is Black Friday, the post-Thanksgiving rush from our affiliate KFAB in Omaha. Host Scott Voorhees and Lucy Chapman talk about an online petition from a Target employee trying to get the folks at Target to push back the time they would open for their sales.
This online petition that's gotten all this attention here in town the last few days. We got a guy here in Omaha who started it, Anthony Hardwick. He's 29 years old. He launched a petition a couple of weeks ago after learning that he'd have to work at 11 o'clock Thanksgiving Day night because the place where he works, which is Target, is going to open at 11 p.m. Thanksgiving Day. Now, you know about all the Black Friday stuff. You know, you go and you eat a bunch of turkey, you eat some pumpkin pie, you watch some football. And then you go to bed at 8 o'clock at night, so you can get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go stand in line at Best Buy for 3 hours until they open up the doors, and you go in there and you get shut out to buy whatever iPad device or whatever you wanted. That's the fun of the beginning of the holiday shopping season. Well, Target thought, that's stupid. We're having people wait in line before we open the doors at 6 a.m. or what have you, and they're out there standing in the cold. Let's just, if people want to go shopping Thanksgiving Day night, let's open that night. We'll let everyone have their meal. You can go have your meal with your family, and then you got to come into work and be ready to go, and we open those doors at 11 o'clock p.m. Thanksgiving Day. And this guy doesn't like it. He's pushing back. He says, look, you retailers have to stop opening so early. We want Thanksgiving Day off. We want to enjoy Thanksgiving with our families, because if we open at 11 and I got to come in there and work like an 8-hour shift all night, that means I have to sleep at some point Thanksgiving Day afternoon. I'm going to miss the time of turkey with my family. Here's what I say. If you don't want to work on Thanksgiving or in the middle of the night Thanksgiving or the next morning on Black Friday, then don't work at Target.
No, I disagree.
You disagree.
I disagree.
Okay, let's look at it in terms of what we do for a living. This is radio.
Mm-hmm.
How many holidays have you had to work?
Most of them.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a young person, this kid's 29 years old, you'd think that he'd have a little more going for him in his life at this point than being a stock boy or whatever he does at Target. But, hey, God bless him. Like I said, he's working. Good for him. I don't know anything about this guy. I'm sure I just insulted him greatly. But the fact remains, if you don't want to work on holidays, you get yourself into a position where your job is not necessary for you to be there on holidays.
There were several Christmas Eves. I worked the overnight shift at the radio station. Not several. I think there was one. But there were before that in high school. I remember one overnight shift I worked on Christmas Eve. But before that, and I was working in high school and college at the movie theater. We have movies, you know, on Christmas Day. All day Christmas Day. Had to be there because the movie started at 1 o'clock. So I'd have to be there about noon and start popping up some popcorn or whatever. And that's Christmas Day. So did I have to cut short some holiday times? Were there trips I couldn't take with my family because I had to work? Yeah, but that's what you do when you're working some of these minimum wage retail and sales kind of jobs. You open up. Do you think people at the gas station that are open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, do you think they're going to be launching an online petition so they don't work? Of course they're going to be there working. There are just some jobs where you're open on holidays. If you don't want to work on holidays, don't get a job at the retailer that's open on the holidays before the holidays.
Yep, that's I think for airline employees, especially if planes fly every day, it's one of the things that you, if you decide you want a particular profession or job, that's what's part of the reality. 28 past the hour now in the countdown.
Do you only wear clothes that hide your psoriasis? Do you constantly have to explain your itching? Are you embarrassed by flaking or scaling? If you said yes to any of these questions, you're eligible to try a new treatment called SebaClear, risk-free. SebaClear has been found to help stop the itching, irritation, redness, and flaking caused by psoriasis. SebaClear is a non-prescription topical treatment proven to help eliminate the reoccurrence of skin psoriasis. The results are so incredible that patients have described this formula as life-changing. Stop hiding under long-sleeve shirts and long pants. Call now for your risk-free trial of SebaClear. But hurry, this special offer won't last.
Call 1-800-467-9194. That's 1-800-467-9194. Try SebaClear risk-free. Call 1-800-467-9194. That's 1-800-467-9194.
Introducing OnStar FMV. For my vehicle. The safety of OnStar for your car.
I just woke up and my car was stolen.
Are you in a safe location?
Yeah, my car was in the driveway. My wife's car was behind mine. I come out to get the newspaper. Her car's out in the street. So they pushed her car out to get to my car.
Do you have the stolen vehicle report number?
550.
If your car is stolen, new OnStar FMV can help locate it with GPS. And now you can get this protection installed on your car at Best Buy.
Police Department.
I have a location on a stolen vehicle. It's just off of Brook Court. It's stationary.
Thanks, OnStar. We have units going out there.
This is Pete.
This is the OnStar Center. We have located the vehicle. Police, you'll be contacting you shortly. Thanks so much.
We all need the safety of OnStar because life happens while you drive. Get it today for your car at Best Buy for $199 MSRP after instant rebate, tax, installation, and subscription extra. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, details, and other retailers. Offer ends 12/31/11.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details and your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com. Utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Whatever winter activity you enjoy, from snowmobiling, snowshoeing, skiing, or camping, there's inherent danger that you may find yourself having to stay warm. Be ready with InstaFire, a revolutionary, safe, simple, and versatile fire starter. InstaFire is a patented blend of volcanic rock, wood pellets, and paraffin wax that gets a fire blazing in just minutes. InstaFire is self-sustaining fire that starts right on top of snow or water and even burns wet wood. Sound incredible? It is. Check it out at InstaFire.com, a must for any outdoor outdoor winter activity. Instafire Easily Lights with matches or flintlock lighters is environmentally friendly. Stores Easy is lightweight, comes in a variety of sizes, and starts at $1.25 for a single pack or only $59.95 for a 5-gallon pail with free shipping. Go to Instafire.com, spelled Instafire.com, or call 888-482-4868. That's 888-482-4868. Safe, simple, versatile. Instafire.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Talk radio countdown.
800-510-8255. Situation in our world of talk radio to review where we are at this point in the hour, halfway through the hour. We've looked at number one, which is the presidential race. Yet another debate this past week. I think there's one scheduled for this week. They're pretty much every week now. A European situation, well, actually, super committee failures number two. European debt situation is number three. The holiday and Black Friday. The poll, by the way, at DougStefan.com this weekend. When will you start shopping on Black Friday? A, I started at midnight. B, 5 a.m. Friday. C, heading out at 9. D, I'm waiting until the afternoon of Black Friday. E, I'm not shopping on Black Friday. A lot of people are out already as they listen to this program, Help Yourself to the Bargains, and have a good time. Number five, the Occupy movement. Here's host Dave Bowes, who thinks it's pretty juvenile that the protesters are talking about their anniversary.
If you started dating a young lady, or I guess if you're a woman, if you started dating a young man, and let's say you started dating on the 11th of the month, or the 15th of the month, what would happen on the 15th of the following month? What would happen on that date? What would you celebrate? Do you remember? You'd celebrate your anniversary. That's right. When you're in teen romance, 1 month counts as an anniversary. Now, later in life, you get to realize, aha, a month is not an anniversary. It is not. Only in teen puppy dog years is a month an anniversary of any kind. And yet, over and over again, smitten teens buy various gifts and flowers and things of this kind in order to celebrate an anniversary, without it ever dawning on them that an anniversary is actually a yearly event. So what's happening today? Well, today, showing the juvenile nature of the Occupy protest, they are celebrating an anniversary. And when I first saw this, when I first saw that they were celebrating the anniversary, I thought, oh, has it been a year? Doesn't seem like it's been that long. Does it? I mean, I couldn't believe it. I thought, boy, I'm really missing something here. And then I'm reading the Wall Street Journal today. Thousands of people massing around Wall Street. More than 177 arrested so far today. Massing to celebrate the two-month anniversary. I thought, I haven't seen that since high school. The two-month anniversary of the Occupy movement. Who are you trying to fool, Occupy? I mean, I guess maybe since much of the movement is supposed to be younger people, and I use the term movement both loosely and perhaps literally, and so I guess if folks are in their 20s and 20s are the new teens, maybe that's why they're celebrating an anniversary with 2 months gone by. And, of course, in order to celebrate the anniversary, the gift they're giving is disruption and chaos on the streets. Because, after all, the way to punish people who are politically corrupt, or the way to effectively change a corrupt political system, is apparently to disrupt the lives and annoy your common people that are trying to get from point A to point B and live their lives. That is their strategy so far.
All right, so that's David Bowes, who thinks that the Occupy protesters all are of one mind. This week, and I think events over the last couple of months, as a matter of fact, since this thing started, as you look at it, you know that's not the case. There are lots of different messages, four or five strong ones, only part of which has been discussed on the radio programs that are right of center. Here is host Tim Conway, Jr. You're talking about the large number of arrests the LAPD did when they decided to shut down Occupy Los Angeles.
A very busy day in downtown Los Angeles. If you're watching TV, the LAPD had their hands full with the lunatics down there, the people who don't seem to have work but seem to be able-bodied. And they tried to go into the park there where Bank America is, and the LAPD just said, you know what, we've had a Canadian-style buttful of this. We're going to shut it down. So, fearing Occupy LA protesters would pitch tents on the lawn of the Los Angeles Police Department, the headquarters in downtown Los Angeles, LAPD officers sealed off the one-acre site on Thursday. That's where they draw the line. You're not going to be camping on LAPD's property, okay? You can't just keep sticking it in their face like that. Eventually, they'll pull out a nightstick and bust it over your head. Half dozen police officers stood guard on the lawn at Spring and Second Streets, watching as Occupy Los Angeles protesters streamed towards the financial district during the second of two large rallies held on Wednesday to protest the financial inequality. Now, the lawn outside of LAPD headquarters, which is popular with downtown dwellers, that's the homeless, and their dogs, those are homeless dogs, was completely shut down so it wouldn't be seized by protesters, homeless, during the rallies. See, they don't know how to write this article. I do. The LAPD Lieutenant Vincent Najila said the lawn is not a park, but is usually open to the public, just not these homeless losers. I added the end in there, but that's probably what he was thinking. If we let the homeless, they use dog owners here, if we let the dog owners use it, or the homeless, and not other people, it'd be a conflict. So, yeah, the grass has been ruined before. These people downtown, I don't know what the end game is going to be here, but they're pushing LAPD to their brink. And then when LAPD snaps, they're going to be, the ACLU will come in and go, oh, why so crazy? Why so unbelievable? Why so much hostility? It's been 45 days, and people are tired of it.
All right. So you got all kinds of, it is interesting to hear the reads on this. One more excerpt from a program hosted by Ross Kaminsky. Here he talks to Peter Schiff from Euro-Pacific Mutual. Schiff has been out on the streets sort of conversing with protesters in New York.
One of the lines that really caused me to scratch my head was when one of the guys that you were talking to said to you, well, if, you know, imagine how much better we'd all be if instead of making $100 million, you, Peter Schiff, only made $50
million. Well, he wasn't meaning me. I don't make that much every year. But he was talking about a mythical person who made $100 million, and he said, imagine how many more jobs we could create if he only made $50 million. And he lost on this individual is the fact that the way you make $100 million is by creating a lot of jobs. In fact, the more money you make, likely the more jobs you created. Now, I understand there's a, you know, you can be on Wall Street, you can just shuffle paper and be a gambler, and you can make a lot of money and create no jobs. But that's because of the Federal Reserve. I agree that there's a lot of just a financial, you know, engineering or just gambling going on, and I don't like that, and that's because of all the cheap interest rates by the Fed, and that would go away if we had real capitalism. But the majority of the entrepreneurs who are not working, you know, gambling on Wall Street, if you make $50 or $100 million in the real economy, it's because you created products that everybody wanted to buy. Maybe they were better than their competitors, or they were lower priced, You know, you can't make $50 or $100 million a year just making things for rich people. You have to make things for the middle class. That's how you get really rich in capitalism. Find out what the average person wants and make it for him in a way that he can afford it, and you end up employing a lot of people along the way. That's what's creating jobs and prosperity, not paying taxes.
Yeah,
when you take money and send it to the government, it doesn't get used to grow the economy. It's just used to finance consumption, and that's not why the economy grows. It grows based on underconsumption, savings, and investment.
Wow. That's pretty smart stuff, isn't it, huh? I find that very interesting. Okay, that's number five. Number six, the Iran nuclear situation. Here's host Jack Ricciardi talking to Middle East expert Lisa Daftari about whether sanctions will make any difference with Iran.
There was some talk about sanctions, and I want to get into that with you, but Governor Huntsman, who has a pretty good foreign policy resume, made his observation from over there at the far end of the stage that you can talk about sanctions, but you won't get the Russians or the Chinese to go along with them. So is he right that sanctions at best would be a U.S.-European endeavor?
Yeah, even the Europeans have ducked out of a lot of the sanctions, and that is absolutely correct. That's not to say that we should continue to allow China or the Russians or the Europeans to be lax about implementing these sanctions. Sanctions work as well as they are implemented and then enforced. I mean, we have now a new round of sanctions that are supposed to be more targeted to the petroleum industry, to the energy sector, to choke off the financials and to damage the regime as best as possible. But you know, if we're not going to have the help of these other countries, it's not going to work. I mean, it has to a certain extent, but it's not going to have the full effect that we're looking for in isolating the Iranian regime. So I think, unfortunately, the onus does fall on the United States to get after the Europeans to discuss this issue with the Russians and with the Chinese, to understand that this is not just a U.S. problem or an Israel problem. This is a global problem, and that it has to be given that type of attention.
Iran and their nuclear ambitions, number six. Up next at number seven, the unrest in Egypt. That's as the talk radio countdown continues.
8 hours is a long time, especially when your child has a fever. That's why you should use Children's Advil. It can relieve your child's fever for up to 8 hours with just one dose. In fact, nothing works longer than Children's Advil. And the medicine in Children's Advil is the number one pediatrician-recommended children's fever reducer. So when your child has a fever, provide them with relief that will last up to 8 hours with just one dose. Children's Advil, the 8-hour fever reliever.
Among OTC pain relievers, use as directed.
Here's today's Ask the Expert Foot Care Tip, sponsored by your friends at Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotics, which provide customized comfort and support for all-day relief of your tired, achy feet. A lot of foot problems are caused by wearing shoes that don't fit right. Here are some tips for buying proper-fitting shoes. First of all, they ought to be well-cushioned, have a soft leather upper, firm sole, and be flexible at the ball of your feet. The heel area should be supportive, but not too stiff. The front ought to have plenty of room for all five of your toes. Most importantly, new shoes need to fit right away. They don't need to be broken in. If they don't fit, they're probably not the right shoe for you. You could end up with foot pain or discomfort. So by following these tips, you and your feet can be happier. If you'd like more advice, go to drscholls.com. Ask the Expert, brought to you by Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotics. Just step on a Dr. Scholl's kiosk, and foot mapping technology will measure your arch type and pressure points, then recommend the custom fit orthotics that are best for you. Find a store at drscholls.com.
Hi, I'm Bill Newcott, and this is AARP's Movies for Grownups.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Everyone knows that old clip. It's one of 500 films in the Library of Congress National Film Registry. That's right. That dancing popcorn's been honored along with The Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
A fascinating new DVD, These Amazing Shadows, celebrates the film registry. It's a great documentary that, for some reason, makes me hungry.
To get ourselves a treat.
Now this. You know, the easiest way to watch movies is instantly in your own home with your digital cable remote. Many movies are available on Movies on Demand on cable weeks before you can rent them on DVD. Here's what's hot on Movies on Demand on cable this week. Jason Momoa and Ron Perlman do battle in Conan the Barbarian. Friday Night Lights' Kyle Chandler faces a space alien in Super 8. And Christopher Plummer starts life anew in Beginners. See what's coming soon at rentmoviesondemand.com and make movie night and MOD night. That's Movies for Grownups. I'm Bill Newcott.
Here's the thing about credit card companies. When you're in debt to them, they're the ones in charge. Hiking up your interest rates, slapping you with late fees, even calling you day and night to collect. Well, it's time you were the one in control. By settling your credit card debts for a fraction of what you owe, you need American Debt Negotiators. We'll match you with an expert who'll help settle your debt for pennies on the dollar and then roll everything into one affordable monthly payment. No more credit card payments. No more collection calls. It's simple, it's proven, and it's legal. If you have over $10,000 in credit card debt, call for a free consultation that'll help you get debt-free sooner than you ever imagined. This is powerful information that credit card companies don't want you to know. Information that will put you in control. Call for your free phone consultation right now. Call 1-888-284-9273. That's 1-888-284-9273. Call 1-888-284-9273. Call now.
The Talk Radio Countdown Show, number 7, has to do with the unrest in Egypt. A reporter allegedly assaulted in a sexual way over there. A lot of things are being tweeted following on Facebook. Here's host Rita Cosby talking to KT McFarland from Fox about what's going on in Egypt and why you ought to care.
What do you think of all the stuff that's happening in Egypt?
Well, the Arab Spring, which started so optimistically, is now turning into a winter of our discontent. And the reason we care is because whatever happens in Egypt is likely to happen in other countries as well. And we have a lot of strategic interests in the Middle East, particularly Israel, particularly oil. So what's going to happen in Egypt? What you're seeing now, it almost looks like mob rule, where the same demonstrators who pushed out President Mubarak, friend to America, although not a great friend to his own country, they pushed him out, and now they want to push out the military. And it's becoming a very chaotic situation. But to me, the more important thing to worry about right now in Egypt, they're on the brink of bankruptcy. This is a country which has to import food. It's the world's second largest importer of wheat. It's a country which has no foreign reserves or dwindling foreign reserves to pay for the food that it's got to import. Tourism is way off. Their largest industry is tourism, and it's fallen like a stone. Foreign investment in Egypt has also fallen. Who wants to invest in a country which is politically unstable? So the reason that all those people went to the streets in Egypt and throughout the Arab Muslim world in the Arab Spring was because there was a very large number of young people who didn't have jobs. And that's gotten a lot worse. And I worry, like you do, that in this chaos, in this power vacuum, comes exactly the people we don't want us to come.
And that's what's scary, too. I think, you know, I've always sort of said, and you and I have talked about this before, mm-hmm. is it's sort of better to have the devil you know than the devil you don't know. And in this period of moving these people out, who's coming in? Who's vetting whoever is coming in next?
Well, here's the thing. When I always look at the two examples in my lifetime that dictate or can inform us about what's going on in the Middle East today. One was the fall of the Shah of Iran in 1978-1979. Jimmy Carter pushed the Shah, helped push the Shah out, pulled out the rug from under the Shah of Iran. And what happened? He then sat on his hands and he said, we're not going to get involved in Iran's new government. Well, we know how that worked out. We now have the mullahs, the ayatollahs. Iran's a great threat to the entire region and to us. On the other hand, Reagan, once the Iron Curtain came down, what did Reagan do? He flooded Eastern Europe with constitutional experts, with lawyers, with people who could show them double-entry bookkeeping, with people who could help them form political parties and have elections. Not that we would tell them what they had to do, but we would help give them the tools, which they did not have, to create their own self-governance. What are we doing in Egypt right now throughout the Middle East? I'm afraid we're sitting on our hands again. And how this region ends up, you know, we were all hoping that what would end up was a pro-Western secular region that would go from the Atlantic all the way to the Persian Gulf. And now what we're worried about is it will be just the opposite. That it'll be Islamist, will be anti-American, will be pro-Islamist governments, maybe even supporting the Muslim Brotherhood and terrorist organizations. It could sweep from the Atlantic to the Persian Gulf. And that's the worst for all of us.
All right, let's worry. Let's be afraid. Next up, 8, 9, and 10 as the countdown moves along.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Hey everybody, Alex Jones here. If you're looking for the perfect Christmas gift, listen up. This will make your holiday shopping very easy. This year, give a seed bank from one of our oldest sponsors, Solutions from Science, to your friends and family. Here's why. The Survival Seed Bank will give any friend or loved one the ability to grow a full acre crisis garden of nutritionally dense, life-sustaining food. And the Survival Seed Bank is not just a box of open-pollinated seeds. It's an indestructible, waterproof seed bank that can even be buried if we face a real meltdown. And here's the best part. All the seeds in the Survival Seed Bank go through strict germination testing, so you can be confident you're not buying old seeds. Give a Survival Seed Bank this Christmas by going to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or you can call 877-327-0365 to give the gift that produces an ongoing supply of life-sustaining food.
Down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The charts, as we continue for this overview of the last full week of November here on the Countdown. I'm Doug Steffen with the number 8, the Penn State investigation. Here's host Mike Francesca talking to Rich Scarsella from the Reading Eagle about the latest on the investigation there and what happened, or maybe still is happening, at Penn State.
What's been the reaction to the idea that there's going to be more indictments for Sandusky, and the idea about Louis Freeh's presence and his gang and what they bring, this all-star team of investigators? How about that, the reaction to those things?
Well, first of all, I just read the story from Sandusky's attorney, and it comes as no surprise, I think, to any of us that more victims were going to come forward. I think I'm surprised, in fact, we're here almost 2.5 weeks out, that more victims haven't come forward yet, but I would expect that to happen. As for the, I don't know what to call it, investigative panel that Louis Freeh has been put in charge of, it's one of many. I mean, you have the Department of Education apparently launching an investigation. Obviously, this continuing state attorney general's investigation, and the NCAA said last Friday they're going to have a sort of an inquiry into Penn State. So I'm not sure who else is going to investigate, but I think you got a lot of people working on this, and
well, this is a big
hopefully
deal.
We'll get to the bottom of everything.
I mean, this is a big deal, Rich. These guys are brought in by Penn State. They cost a fortune.
Yes.
This is the former FBI director, and he has former FBI agents and federal prosecutors. No ties to Penn State, no ties to the state of Pennsylvania, and this is a group that is a group that has a major reputation of going after big fish and big targets, and they are considered to be kind of an investigative dream team. So the feeling has been, at least when I've seen nationally the last couple of days from guys who were there, is that this is a real sign that the Board of Trustees mean business. This is a big ticket item, and that they really do want to find out the truth here.
Well, I agree with you, Mike. I think Louis Freeh is obviously a very big name. He has great credentials as the former director of the FBI. He looked into the Reggie Bush case at USC. My concern is, when I looked, that there are still some trustees on this investigative panel, and that concerns me a little bit.
All right, so that's number 8. Number 9, the situation with Tim Tebow. the NFL and the NBA, that sort of thing. Doesn't look like there's going to be an NBA season at all. And you talk about greed, woof. But there's been a lot of talk about Denver player Tim Tebow, who's constantly talking about Jesus before, during, and after football games. Seems to be getting in the way of some of the other players focusing on what they're trying to do. So that's number nine. Number 10, the Natalie Wood case. Anderson Cooper here talks to Sam Kashner from Vanity Fair about the reasons this case has been reopened.
Why do you think this investigation, Sam, was reopened now?
There has been a petition in Los Angeles to reopen the case. A lot of her fans and people were dissatisfied with the original investigation, and I think this 48 hours which really took my story, which I wrote originally 10 years ago, and really ran with it. Mm-hmm. And they're talking to ear and eyewitnesses that really haven't
ear witnesses, people who were on boats nearby.
Exactly,
the boat that was on the water.
Right. There was a woman, for example, on a boat moored nearby who insists that she heard a woman's cry for help. You know,
you don't think it was anyone particularly coming to the police department and saying, "Here's some new information." You think it was more things that you had written and the idea that this was back in the atmosphere.
I think so. And also, I think LAPD doesn't want to be behind the curve. I mean, you know, they don't quite know what 48 hours has cooked up. And they just want to make sure. I think they would like to put this thing to rest, too, because it's been 30 years.
What are some of the big things, Sam, about we don't know about what happened on that boat? Because allegedly there was a fight,
right.
And Robert Wagner acknowledges that he fought with her that night. The presumption is she got into a dinghy and then her body was found a distance away.
Right, but also there was a precious hours after she was missing from her stateroom where they didn't look for her, and where Dennis, to his credit, I think, Dennis Davern, the boat captain, does admit that he allowed himself to be constrained by Robert Wagner from calling the authorities.
Didn't Robert Wagner want the authorities to call it?
Well, I mean, I think because he was Robert Wagner, and mm-hmm. it was Natalie Wood who was missing, and I think in a way this is a lesson too about how, you know, celebrity, a certain level of fame, can kind of compromise judgment. I mean, you try to manage, you kind of stage manage at least a tragedy.